Dr. Ringer, as you were sitting there watching the ball game, can I congratulate you on becoming a grandfather, by the way?
Yes, you may. Thank you very much.
You were working on that as well. Good for you.
Yeah, we're making some plans to go visit. My wife's already there.
And the granddaughter's name is?
Claire Madeline.
Claire Madeline.
I like it.
Old school, yeah.
Very old school.
And was there a reason they came up with those two names? Are they in the family?
You know, my daughter never shared that information with me.
You weren't one of those parents that went, Claire?
No, I wasn't.
Really?
I wasn't.
Madeline?
Yeah. No, I did not. We did not interfere in the naming of the granddaughter.
My dad was like that with one of my nephews. Nathan? What kind of name is Nathan?
And we stayed out of that.
Yeah, don't get in trouble. All right, let's see. We're going to talk about leadership today. Let me ask you this. Do you have to be a good person to be a good leader?
It depends.
I'm going to say no, you don't have to be.
I think it depends, Scott.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think this is where I think it gets interesting. The closer we are in work relationship, then the more important the goodness becomes. There's a great, I think, saying that we often use, and I was reminded of it last week. People don't leave jobs, they leave managers. The most common reason, the most important reason, the most frequent reason that people leave their jobs is because of the quality of the relationship they have with their manager. So, you know, we were talking earlier, you mentioned, you know, should people ask questions of their manager when they're thinking, you know, what's it like to work for you rather than what will you be like? And part of that probably is an issue of, are you a decent person to work with? Are you a decent person to be around? Now, I think where it gets difficult is when we're more removed from the daily relationship with the person, where their individual behavior isn't that critical, isn't that big of a part of our day. And the great example is politics. You know, we're far removed from most political leaders. And when we look at the past couple of decades, we've certainly had presidents, and we had two candidates in the most recent presidential election who, depending on the person you're talking to, were deeply flawed individuals with significant ethical challenges. And I think in those cases, we actually do make exceptions to this general idea that you've got to be a good person to be a good leader. I think in organizations, we talk about ethics, we talk about being decent, we talk about being fair, we talk about being equitable. But I do think that once you get out of organizational settings and get into social settings or political settings, especially political settings, I don't think people are terribly concerned about whether you're a good person or not. It's, will you advance my interests? One of the things we talk about in ethics a lot is the ability that people have to rationalize their own behavior when it's in their self-interest to do so. And I think in politics, that's what we see happening. If I'm a strong partisan, if I believe very deeply in a political philosophy or social philosophy, oftentimes we find ourselves able to make exceptions for either my behavior or the behavior of the people that represent me, because it's advancing a cause I believe in. It's advancing a movement that I care about. So when it comes to politics, I do think we make exceptions. And we say, well, yeah, I know this person's flawed. I know he's got weaknesses. I know he said this. I know she did that or was accused of doing that. But that doesn't matter, because the greater cause, the greater movement, the greater goal that I have is met by this person being elected. So I do think in the political arena, we often make exceptions about people's behavior. And I don't think we're as concerned about whether individuals are good or bad.
Are you kidding me? This is Illinois.
Well, it is Illinois. I mean, we live by that rule.
Sure, he's a felon, but he's our felon.
Exactly, exactly. And I think because politics has become so tribal, you know, membership in that tribe, membership in that political group is really, really important. And advancing your cause becomes the issue that matters. And so we do make exceptions for the behavior of those that represent us, as long as they're representing our interests well.
At the top of the conversation, you said people don't leave jobs, they leave managers.
Correct.
And then you got into politics.
Right.
And I'm thinking, okay, well, you've got two U.S. senators that aren't happy with their boss.
Absolutely.
And that's the leader of the United States and Donald Trump, so they've decided to leave.
Right.
And Trump's basically saying, well, see ya.
Good riddance.
And so his supporters are saying the same thing. In Illinois, you have Governor Rauner, who upset a lot of people, And if you look, I don't know what the number is now, but you've got people leaving the House and the Senate in Springfield.
Right.
For whatever reason, they're leaving.
Yeah, and those, you know, politics is such a difficult, challenging, you know. And I think, in fairness, you know, these guys, these individuals are placed in really difficult situations. In the case of the U.S. Senate, you know, you're faced to make choices about what you really believe in and what you really care about, and I understand, and it's. To have to fight those re-election battles every couple of years or every 4 years or every 6 years, I understand why people just decide it's just not worth the battle anymore. And this is a unique situation in which people, I think, are realizing that's a battle I don't want to fight anymore. Now, in organizations, I do think the ethical component is different. I do think we care much more about whether somebody is a good person or not, whether they cheat at golf, whether they are kind.
Whether they cheat at golf?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's been the argument for generations, is why golf is so critical in the business world, is that it reveals somebody's character. Are they a decent person to be around? And if they cheat at golf?
You do remember when someone cheats, though. You never forget that.
Well, yeah, but there's cheating, and then there's just missing. If I got a stroke here or there. Now, if you're, you know, kicking a ball back in bounds, okay, that's cheating. Well, my rule is, we'll get off, if you can stand on it, it's not out of bounds. That's just my rule.
That's fair enough. That's right. But if you're playing with friends and you have your own set of values about how we play, I'll just drop another one and hit it again. You're fine.
Yeah.
That's a different scenario. If you're playing in a professional setting, in fact, the College of Business we've had to cancel it twice because the weather's been so crummy. But we hold a professional golf outing for our students to help them understand the role of golf. It's certainly less important than it was a generation ago, even 20 years ago,
I would
say. Yeah,
these kids aren't playing golf.
But it still matters in a lot of ways in the business world. And in terms of friends playing, I certainly think you get away with a lot more. But when you're talking about business professional relationships, it has been widely viewed as a mechanism for assessing someone's communication skills, how good of a person they would be to work with, can I really make a deal with this guy, and are you fundamentally honest, and can I trust you to do those things? So the closer the business relationship, I think the more important the goodness becomes, because we have that, you know, there's this sense of this guy could really harm me, this person could really do me damage if he or she is not a decent human being. In politics, we're so far removed from that personal relationship that I don't think it matters as much to us. And we're very interested in politics advancing the cause. In business, it's a little bit different. We don't have that same identity. We're talking about doing a good job, earning a good paycheck, accomplishing things that are important to us, but we don't have that same identity with our business relationships as we do in politics.
You know, the question, do you have to be a good person to be a good leader? And then we're bringing up politics, but Harvey Weinstein, not a good person.
You know,
his company,
sure.
So obviously he was doing something right.
Right.
Was he a good leader?
Right. You know, no. But here's the challenge. And obviously, as you would imagine, this has been a hot topic in on campus. One of my courses, we talk a lot about ethics, and so we've discussed this a lot. And the issue is not only his behavior, but I think it does illustrate, Scott, the point you just made, which is this dichotomy. He made great movies, or at least his company did. And when you would read a lot of things that people said in response to what's happened, so many of them said things that, you know, Harvey opened doors for me, and Harvey gave me opportunities that I wouldn't have had.
Opened bedroom doors.
You know, yes. And, you know, Harvey was always a guy looking for unknown directors or actors and actresses and giving them a shot. So, you know, people were faced with this conflict of, here's this guy that advanced my career. Yet I now have heard he was doing these awful things. So the ethical question, in a lot of ways, is why those people who were not the victims, but were aware that things were going on, why didn't they say something? You know, why didn't they speak out at the time? And the answer is the same. Their self-interest is at stake. You know, they realize this guy's been helping me. This guy's been advancing my career. I've heard things that he's doing to actresses or and women that are coming, you know, visiting him in his office. I don't want to say anything. You know, I don't want to be the guy. I don't want to be the jerk. And I think a lot of them realize I could have, I should have, and regret not saying something. But back to organization, Scott, I think your direct manager, I do think he or she has to be a good person to be a good leader. I think that face-to-face relationship is really critical. And if you can't trust that person with your career, your ambitions, your work life, then I do think you have a problem. I think you do need to be a good person in those settings to get things done in organizations.
My direct manager is a great person. They leave me alone.
And that may be it. You raised the issue earlier. Maybe we should interview managers before we take a job. And that would be a great question. How much managing do you really want to do of me? And I like to be left alone. Tell me what you want me to do, and I'll go do it. But don't be looking over my shoulder every 5 minutes.
That's why this show is chaos. They leave me alone. They don't. You know, it's a rudderless ship here. All right. Who are you again? Dr. Rick Ringer. Good talking to you.
Always a pleasure.
Hey, do you have any
seminars
coming up that people are going to attend?
You know, we are finished for the semester, okay. But we have a whole new series beginning in probably late January of 2018. So that information will be out soon.
All right. Good seeing you. Always good seeing you. Dr. Rick Ringer, Illinois State University.